Father, we thank you and praise you again that you give us joy deep inside and peace, even in the midst of conflict, difficulty, and distractions. You can give us that joy and peace because you supersede all that is in the world that is contrary to you. And you come to deliver in us by your Holy Spirit, purely by your grace and mercy, that peace that you pass as understanding. The assurance of knowing that we have an eternal destination and it cannot fail. So God, we ask that you would bolster that belief, that faith, that trust, that assurance, that conviction, that that is indeed true for me. In Christ's name we ask, amen. Think for a moment, now and even later in the day, what place, what role does hope have in your life and in your mental well-being? What role, what place does hope play in your mental health and your well-being? Just think about that. I looked up the word hope in dictionary.com. And when it's used as a noun, the first three definitions uses the word feelings. So hope is a feeling to some degree. So hope definitely impacts our emotions, doesn't it? Does. Because I think it's February. When February comes around, what trivial holiday do we celebrate in February? Groundhog's Day. Yeah. Groundhog's Day. And if the groundhog doesn't see a shadow, what does it mean? A shorter winter. And if you think there's going to be a shorter winter and spring's coming sooner, how does it make you feel? Makes you feel good. You're right. Because you don't have this long, cold, icy, snowy winter lasting even longer. All right? So it does affect our emotions. You're going to school and you got a barrage of tests to take. What are you hoping for? That you'll pass them. That you'll pass it with an A or a B. Right? And when you find out that you got an A or a B, how does it make you feel? It touches your emotions. On a larger scale, we hope that there will be a good outcome of a trade agreement with China. That would make us feel good. How about ending the wars and the conflicts in the Middle East and with terrorist countries? That would be great. We hope for things like that. But a lot of those hopes are beyond our control. They may not. Maybe with a little luck, it will happen. What hope do the younger generations have of living in a safe, free America, continuing under a constitutional republic? What hope do they have? But it is a hope, isn't it? Because we know the outcome of living under those conditions. The loss of hope can sometimes cause an individual to entertain or to move into fatalistic and drastic behavior. When you take away hope, it can sometimes lead into fatalistic behavior that does harm not only to one but another. But as a Christian, what would life be like without God? Think about it. We think of God all the time, right? You have a problem, you pray to Him. You want direction, you go to His Word. You talk to other Christians. You have all of that keeping you up, right? Now, take away God, take away prayer, take away the Bible. What would it be like to live the rest of today, let alone tomorrow, not knowing what tomorrow holds, without any hope in God? You can't go to Him for help or direction or assurance or anything else. It's gone. All you have is yourself, others, the government, nature, whatever you can scrounge around for hope. That's all you have. How does that settle? Not good, is it? That wouldn't be good at all. Living under the New Testament times, the Jews lived under Roman oppression. Very difficult circumstances to live. And what they were looking for was hope. Hope to get out from under this tremendous dictatorial government of the Romans. They need hope. And perhaps even some of you here today are facing situations and circumstances in which you're looking for hope because things are getting hard or the future doesn't look too bright, and you're looking and you need hope in your life. True and lasting hope does not come from our determination. It doesn't come from our actions or achievements or strength or anything else that we can muster. It doesn't come from political activity. Where does lasting true hope come from? It comes from God. That's it. Period. Yeah, it comes from God, not anything that we can do. So where does hope come from? Living in a society, living in a world with spiritual and moral decay, continuing at a breakneck speed. If we just listen to the news and nothing else, divorce God from everything, just listen to the news. I don't care what news you listen to, just listen to it. Where is our hope? Right. From the word of a child. Nowhere. Because it comes from God alone. You take God out, there is no hope. If you have no hope for the future or for today or for eternity, that leaves you as a very desperate, depressed person. Or at least it can. And some people take things into their own hands and make a mess of it even worse. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. We'll just stop right there. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. What is it referring to in the past? Written in the past refers to what? Israel's history, which encompasses thousands of years. It was written for what? To teach us. Not just the people in the New Testament days, not just the people in the Old Testament days. It was the Old Testament, which sometimes we rarely read, is written for you and me to teach us something. It is not irrelevant, old, dusty, boring history. It is there to teach you and I something for today in the 21st century and to teach the next generation. What in the world is it to teach us? Well, first of all, let us look what took place in the Old Testament, the Old Testament prophets, and the journey of Israel, going into Egypt, coming out of Egypt, and so on and so forth. You look at the prophets, you look at their message, you look at Israel's journey here, there, and everywhere else, and it is constantly marked by rejection, hardship, resistance, and attempts at annihilation. They do not have a pleasant history, but it's checkered with many, many problems. Up to this very day, people are still trying to annihilate the Jews. And so we can't say that they had a very pleasant history or even the present time. So it's there to teach us something. We look at the prophets. How many of them faced resistance and even death and backed down, caved in to the pressure? How many? One? Five? Anybody know? How many prophets of God caved in? None. None of them caved in, that I recall. Anybody know differently? True prophets of God. They stood firm on the word of God. They had sometimes doubts. Yes, they struggled. Yes, they cried out to God, take my life, this is terrible. But they didn't in the end. They were faithful through it all. They cried out to God for help. For example, Ezekiel. Remember the story of Ezekiel? Who was the king during Ezekiel's time? Pardon me? King Ahab. And Queen Jezebel. Ah, yes, the Old Testament's favorite. He lived during that time. And Ezekiel had a contest with the prophets of Baal. 400 of them. That's a lot of prophets. They went up to Mount Carmel and they waited for him all day long for their God to burn the sacrifice on the altar. Nothing happened. Finally, he calls upon the Lord God. He not only burns the sacrifice, he licks up the water that was drowsed upon it and burns up everything. And then what follows is that Ezekiel and his followers or his friends, his helpers, whatever, butcher 400 false prophets of Baal. So then he tells Ahab, King Ahab, look what happened. It was a daunting day for your God. He failed. Go tell your wife, Queen Jezebel, what happened. He tells Queen Jezebel. What does Jezebel do? She issues a statement saying, Ezekiel, you are going to die by the end of the day because of what you have done. What does Ezekiel do? What does Ezekiel do? He just killed 400 prophets. He stands up to Jezebel and off of their head, right? Yeah. What does he do? He puts on his Nike sneakers. And he runs. I mean, he's terrified. He runs for the hills. As I'm getting out of here, man, that woman scares me. Queen Jezebel, she means business. She's killed others before. She's going to kill me. So he ran. Why did he run? That's a whole sermon, but briefly, quickly. Number one, he was afraid, naturally, right? He was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because God had not talked to him during that period of time. God was silent. Ever experienced that in your life? God was silent. Secondly, or thirdly, Ezekiel was expecting a different response from Ahab after he saw the demonstration of God's power on Mount Carmel. He expected Ahab to see God responded, the gods of Baal didn't, God of Israel and the God of Ezekiel must be the true God, I'm going to follow him. Didn't happen. He's disappointed. Do you ever have disappointment in your expectations of what God or people would do? Yeah. And so with those three things in place, and I'm sure exhaustion and fatigue, which doesn't help, Ezekiel ran for his life, scared to death of what would happen. So it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning with verse 5. Ezekiel lay down under a tree and fell asleep. Well, this was after he told the Lord, I've had enough, take my life. He says, God, I've had it. Things aren't working out the way I wanted. Just end my life. I don't want to face any more trials, problems, or anything else. Just take it. So he laid down under a tree, fell asleep. He says, I'm no better than my ancestors. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread, baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate, drank, and then he lay down again and he fell asleep. He's obviously very tired. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and says, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and he ate and drank. Strengthened by that, I will add, supernatural food, he traveled 40 days, 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. How did Ezekiel survive? By the grace of God, wasn't it? Was it his own ingenuity and power and persuasion of his own mental talk and everything else that he could do? Was it some psychological thing he did? No, it was God himself. He says, I'm done. Kill me. Take my life. And God says, no, I'm going to send you an angel. He fed him, encouraged him, and he was able to keep going. How do you survive? How are we to survive as God's people during difficult circumstances and trials and problems? By the grace of God. But we need to seek God. And so doing. So they were faithful. We need to be faithful. And it requires patient endurance. How many of you have patient endurance? Not too many. None. Patient endurance. How do we get patient endurance? They don't sell it at Walmart. I looked. It's not there. How do we get patient endurance? By persevering under everyday difficult situations in life. Whether it has to do with being a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. Persistence or persevering under the difficult circumstances of everyday life. We don't grow in patient endurance by living in an incubator, but we are pampered and life is good and everybody takes care of everything for us and there's no mix-up, no problems, no mistakes, nothing of that nature. We don't grow that way at all. We only grow under the difficulties of life, those things that we wish we didn't have to encounter, things we try to avoid, things we try to pray away. God, this hurts. This is awful. This shouldn't be happening to me. Take it away, God. I rebuke it. You know, on and on and on it goes. Could God not be saying, just hold on a minute. I'm trying to develop who you are so that you're a better, stronger, more faithful individual. It ain't coming any other way. So put on your seatbelt, hold on, trust me, and I will get you through. And when you get through, you're going to discover you're going to be a stronger person for it. Unless, of course, you take your eyes off of God and divorce him from the whole thing, then you probably won't be a better person or a stronger person, but rather you're going to be a stronger whiner and complainer. That's not what God wants. He can't use whiners and complainers like Israel was in the wilderness. And even perseverance and persistence is developed by God in us. It doesn't come naturally. Even God does it in us. And that's what the scripture is saying. So we need to submit during, well, every situation, but particularly when life is hard. Submit, seek him through prayer, read his word, and ask God, where are you in the midst of all this? And realize that God knows what's going on. It's not a mistake. You're not necessarily being disciplined because you did something wrong, you know, the day before or the hour before. But God is developing us. It's an expression of his love. And remember, as Hebrews tells us, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. What's the cloud of witnesses? Christians who have gone before us and have died and are in heaven, who have gone through far more difficult situations than you and I have ever experienced in our lifetime. And they were faithful. They did not cave in because God sustained them. God will sustain you and I. Now that is hope. Suffering, unlike common knowledge today or ideas today, suffering has a positive purpose, has a positive effect upon us. But how many of us try to pray suffering away? Avoid all kinds of suffering. It's not from God. Nope, that's from the devil. God would never have us suffer. Really? It has a positive effect. First of all, it tests and refines our faith. It reveals our true character. You say you're a Christian, you're devoted to him completely. You won't know until you are placed under pressure to find out what is truly there. Remember Peter? I'll follow you. I'll die for you. He was under pressure at the garden. He was under pressure as Jesus was on trial. And what did he do? Caved in. I don't know him. I swear I don't know him. I don't know the man. It refines and shows what's truly inside. And when we come through by God's grace and by God's help, we discover that through his assurance, we will be in heaven in paradise forever. Now that's hope. Hope that God will be with you during the difficult times of life, whatever they may be, and he will sustain us. How do persecuted Christians in China, North Korea, and other parts of the world survive? When their families are being tortured to death, they are being tortured. They have no job, and so on and so on. How do they survive? Why don't they just cave in and give up and deny Jesus Christ, and then they can live a normal, happy life? They survive by knowing those who have gone before them have done it. They survive knowing that God is with them. They survive knowing that God is faithful. They survive knowing that in the end, even if they die, that's not the end, but rather there is an eternal presence with God. Take away hope of heaven. What do you have left in this world? Despair, fatalism, horribleness. Hope in Christ is built and based upon what? Not ourselves, not the church you attend, not your spiritual activity or anything of that nature. It is built upon one thing, the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed or given to you. The righteousness of Jesus Christ by dying on the cross and giving it to you and I. That's what it's based upon. Nothing else in this world, nothing else that you and I can do. It is simply based on his righteousness given us to us by faith. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. That can be an exciting passage because it says, first of all, you are righteous by God alone. Nothing you can do, because we could never achieve it anyways. Because we have righteousness and a just standing with God, we have access to God. We have access to his presence through prayer. He hears us. He answers us. Without the righteousness of God, there's no access. We cannot come before the Father unless we go through Jesus Christ. We can't go through Jesus Christ unless he's living within us through faith. So we are justified through Christ. Therefore, we have access to him. Because we have access to him, we have hope. And today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. We also have forgiveness. The removal of all guilt. That's part and parcel of being justified and being righteous. Therefore, we not only have peace with God spiritually, but what else does it give us? Peace of mind. That's worth a lot, isn't it? Peace of mind. Knowing that we can lay down at night with no guilt. And if we don't wake up tomorrow, so what? We're in heaven. Don't have to worry about it. We're in a car accident. Don't worry about it. Random shooting. Don't worry about it. Now, I'm not saying that's not a concern. What I'm saying is our eternal destination. Okay? We don't have to worry because we are at peace with God and we have peace of mind. The peace of God gives us access to him and it gives us hope under pressure. Hope is not a joyous, giggly optimism in life. That everything is going to work out just fine. There's going to be no problems. We're going to be happy every day. If that's what hope is, forget it, because it doesn't exist in this world. Hope is knowing that we have the assurance, the absolute conviction that heaven awaits us, regardless of how we leave this world. And it is based upon God's love for us, not our love for God. It's a huge difference. It's based on God's love for us, not our love for God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's not for we loved God so much he came to us. No. It's the exact opposite. God loved you so much he hounded you until you came to him in faith and trust. Romans 15:13, we conclude. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope of the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope has come, hasn't it? It came on the first Christmas, and he's given us the Holy Spirit to bring us that hope, that assurance, now, tomorrow, and forever. And that hope is grounded in Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, nothing in and of ourselves. So he is the Father of hope, the God of hope, the hope of the season, and the hope of tomorrow. May you have that eternal, God-given hope in your mind and heart. For without it, it's difficult to live a peaceful life. Father in heaven, you know the hearts of everyone here, whether they are surrendered, whether they are running, or whether they are falling away. We ask God that you would renew and restore the true faith of all of us as we again make a recommitment to you as our Savior and as our Lord, the God of hope, who holds heaven for us, but also who holds his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness for us on a daily, hourly, minute basis. basis. Thank you that you are here and you will be with us 24/7, this day and every day that you give us to live. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.